Okay, the boyside. Today's daf is daf Chof Beis. We're starting on Chof Aleph Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom of the Amud. And as you know, today is Rish Chodesh, and we're going to focus on today's laning. Four lines from the bottom says the Gemara. Barashi Chadosh Rishchodesh Shalmoid Koyin Arba. There are four aliyahs. Boy Minei Ula Bar Rav Meirava Parshus Rishchodesh Keitzad Koyin Oisa. How do you work it out that you should have four aliyos altogether? So let's take a quick look at the Chumash. You'll see we start off continue on to the first Pei. Pei means that in the Torah you have a new Parsha there, and you'll notice until the end of that Parsha you have eight Psukim. Right? The last Pasuk is the Eisa Keres Hasheni Tein Lassim Ben Aboyim. Eight Psukim altogether. Then we have Uviyoyim HaShabbos. There are two psukim. Uviyoyim HaShabbos, Oy LaShabbos B'Shabbatai, two psukim altogether. And then we have Uvirashi Chod Sheichem, which is Pasuk Yud Aleph, goes until Shishi in the Chumashim, and that is altogether five psukim. Yud Aleph through Tezvav, 11 through 15, five psukim. So we start off with eight, two, and five. Asks Yimar, how are we going to divide this up for four people? Heichinat. So let's start again. Tzavas ben Yisrael Yimar Talim is Kaboni Lachmi Dehavion Tamnai Psuki. The initial portion is eight psukim altogether. So if that's the case, says the Yimar, Heichinat, what should we do? Nikri Trei Tlosa Tlosa. Should we call up a Koyen and the Levi, and give each one three psukim, which of course is the minimum. Two times three gets us to how much? Two times
six.
Six psukim.
Approximately.
So how many have left over? Parshaluhu Trey. You can have two left over from the original eight. Nu, v'ein mishayrin beparsha pochas mishloisha psukim. We have a rule that you cannot end a parsha leaving over less than three psukim until the end.
Short change.
What's the reason why you cannot leave over two psukim before the end of the parsha? Rashi says, we'll see that later on the bottom of the Amud Aleph. We're going to get to that in Yetzer Shem. But in the meantime, if you'd have lained six psukim for the first two olim, you can't leave over two psukim. So what do I do? Okay. Nikri Arba Arba. Let's call the Kohen and Levi. Give each one four psukim. Mm-hmm. And with that, we have concluded the first eight. Pashuluhu, now we have left over another Shiva. Seven. How do you get seven? Uviyoyim HaShabbos, Havyin Trey. Like we saw, two psukim. Roshi Chacheichem, Havyin Chamisha. It's five, the seven. Sehechinavit. How are we going to split up the next two aliyahs? So Nikri Trey, Meha, V'chad Mehanoch. Is the Choyra, I have a good idea. Shlishi will get Uviyoyim HaShabbos, which is two psukim, and then he'll read one more pasuk into Uvirashi Chacheichem. 2 plus 1 is
three.
So that's fine. Trei Meho, V'chad Mi'anoch, and then the last Ole, Revi, will have four psukim left. That works perfectly. Says he won't know that doesn't work. Because Ein Maschilin Beparsha Pochas Mishloisha Psukim. Just like you cannot leave over less than three psukim in a parsha, you cannot begin a new parsha with only reading one pasuk. The minimum that you have to read from a new parsha has to be three psukim. And you're wondering why? The Gemara will discuss it down below in Yetzer Shem. So that being the case, so what do we got to do? Okay, so the Shlishi will Likri Trei Meha, he'll read the two psukim of Uviyoyim HaShabbos, those two psukim, and then from the final Uvirashi Chacheichem, he'll read three psukim, Utlasa Mehach. How many are you going to have left? Pashalu Trei, then you're going to have two psukim left, because Uvirashi Chacheichem is only five psukim. So Shlishi is going to have two Uviyoyim HaShabbos, three into Uvirashi Chacheichem, and now Revi will be shortchanged. He only has two psukim. And this was the question that was posed by Ula Barav to Rava. Amalois, Rava told them, Zulo Shemati. I don't know, I didn't hear anything specific about this. But I did hear the following. To me it's a little bit of a pella that you ask Rava, what's the halach? And he says, Loi Shemati. I'm assuming that he has been in shul for many, many times over the years of his career.
Same question last week.
Oh, see, Baruch Hashem, Ein kol chodesh tachas ha-shamash. Perhaps what Rav is trying to say is not that he doesn't know what halach is. He knows. Otherwise, did he ever get shlisha ravim, or what did he do over the last few years? Presumably what he means this is that I didn't get a specific teaching from my Rebbeim, and therefore I cannot bring you any raya from a Mishnah, from a Braisa, from a Gemara. But you know what halach is. But the following I did here, did not. And now we quote a Gemara that we learned not too long ago in Masechtas Ta'anis. As you recall, at the end of the Gemara Masechtas Ta'anis, we had that just like all of the Kehanim were divided up into 24 Mishmaris, and they did work in the Beis HaMikdash 2 weeks a year, 1 week in the beginning of the year, a second week in the second half of the year, so too many of the Yisraelim were split up into 24 Ma'amadois. Half of those people in Ma'amadois went to Yerushalayim, stood there in the Azara, the Ezras Yisrael, to watch as the carbon is being brought, and many others stayed home, but they gathered every day in their local basic Knesset, and every day they had certain special tefillos, as well as special leanings, as the Gemara tells us right now. What were the leanings? Sunday through Friday, they leaned from Parshas Bereishis. Didnan, b'yom rishon, on Sunday of the week of the Ma'amadois, they leaned Bereishis, b'hirakia. Now, if we look back at Bereishis, there you have a similar problem. What's the problem? The first parsha of Bereishis, Bereishis bro lekim, Eisa Shemayim, Eisa Oret, that first day until Vayerev, Vayivoyker, Yoim Echad, is altogether five psukim, five. Then the next parsha, Yoim Sheini, is three psukim, five and three. Five and three is roughly?
Eight.
Eight. And you have to give how many aliyahs?
Three.
How do you divide eight by three? That's going to be difficult.
Tricky.
So the third aliyah shlishi, he's going to get the Yom HaShani, three psukim, that's fine. But what a kohen and levi going to do with only five psukim? So you have the identical problem that we have. Rish Chodesh, you had the first day of the Ma'amadois. Did not. The Yom Rishon Bereishis. The Yerukia. V'toni Allah, in the Brice it says, Bereishis b'shnayim. Bereishis, we're going to split up to two aliyahs. Yerukia b'yachar will be one aliyah. V'avim bo, and we were wondering. That's easy. That's three psukim. No problem. El Bereishis b'shnayim chamisha psuki have it. Only five. V'tanya, and we learned in the Braisa hakoyrei b'toyre leyifchois mishloisha psukim. The minimum has got to be three psukim. What do we do? B'idmar Allah. So we had the machlokes Rav Omer Doleg u'Shmuel Omer Posek. Doleg over here means that you go and say it twice. Usually doling means to skip. Here we're skipping and repeating the pasuk a second time. So, what does Rav say? You have to repeat the middle pasuk twice. Ushmul omer poisik, you take the middle pasuk and you split it in half. So, specifically, back in Bereishis, how would that work? The third pasuk of Bereishis is, Vayoyim elikim, yihi or, vayhi or, according to Rav, the first Ola with Lane, Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, including that third pasuk of Yom HaKimiyar, and the next Aliyah, which would mean the Levi typically, he would re-lane pasuk Gimel of Yom HaKimiyar, and then pasuk Dalet and pasuk Hey. See, also Lane 3. The first Lane 3, the second one Lane 3. That's what he's a craft. Shmuel said, no. We take the middle pasuk, the Yom HaKimiyar, and we split it down the middle. And therefore, the first Ola will get Yom HaKimiyar, and the second one will get by ER. You're going to split it. That's a little bit difficult. Only two words. Abazo is this. You're going to split it up according to Shmuel. Says the Gemara. Rav Omer Doleg, my time of Omer Paisik. Why didn't he say split it up and give 2.5 psukim to the Koyin, 2.5 psukim to the Levi? After all, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, he didn't just give him the mitzvahs, he also gave him the breakdown of all the psukim. And therefore, if there's a pasuk that has 3 words, 5 words, 10 words, that's how it's codified and incorporated in the Chumash. How can we go and start splitting it? As he can't. No, we do split it. And besides asking the kasha that we just said, kol pasuk shel paske, the Gemara asks from a real live situation. Va'omer Rav Chananya Kara, tzar gadol hayuli etzer Rav Chanina hagadol. This person, Rav Chananya Kara, back in Masechtas Tanis, by the way, it says Rav Chanina Kara, not Rav Chananya Kara, and presumably the reason why we give him this fancy name, Rav Chanina Kara, is to distinguish between him and Rav Chanina Hagadol, so there shouldn't be any confusion. Why was he called Rav Chanina Kara? Number one, because he was a Bal Korei, he was familiar with the Mikra, he knew how to lay the Psukim. And number two, as we'll see in a moment, he was also a Malamed for Tinoikis. He went and taught Kleine Yiddish Kinderloch in Cheder. And said Rav Chanina Kara, Tzar Godel Hoyuli, I had terrible, terrible tzar, pain. What was my pain? I went to Rav Chanina HaGadol and I begged him, please, I'm teaching these little children in first grade, second grade, I'm teaching them psukim, and if you're going to go and tell me that kol psuka to lepaske moisha anan lepaskinale, my first grade kids, I can't teach them long psukim like brashas, bar lekim, esa shemayim ve'esa aretz. I got to split it up. Otherwise, little kids, they can't possibly go and digest so much at one time. What do I do? So Rav Chanina HaGadol, he paskin for me, v'lehiter li lifsoik, for the children, I give you a heter. We have to do that, otherwise you'll never be able to learn Torah. If you force a child always to learn whole psukim, he'll never be able to work it out.
He'll drown.
Oh, therefore we have to go and split it. So you see that only under extraordinary circumstances do you allow for breaking up a pasuk. Shmuel, how do you allow for breaking the pasuk into? Eventual, hasam time am I. You agree with me that there are exceptions. Mishum d'layafsha, because there's no other way out. Hachanami layafsha. We'll be stuck here forever at the Sefer Torah if we're not allowed to make some sort of modification, some sort of exceptional rule. Otherwise, what are we going to do? Ushmul omar poisik. My time alone, Madarvik. The Choyer Rav's eights of repeating the poisik is also a good eight, sir. Says the Margazin Mishamachim Asim. The problem is because of people that come in late and people that leave early. What is the problem about people coming in late and the people that come in early? So we have an easy Rashi that explains the first narrow line at the top, Gezeira Mishum HaNichnasim, onto the second narrow line of Rashi. She Yishmiu, these are people which are Nichnasim, means they came late. They missed Koyin. They're coming now at the beginning of the Aliyah of Levi. Sheyishmiu hasheni maskel pasuk zeh. They hear that sheni starts at pasuk gimel. V'yoyimru lekara rishon aleshnayim. Why? If we started from pasuk gimel, it must be that the earlier ole only had two psukim. They don't realize, of course, we are repeating it a second time because they came in late. So they're automatically going to go home that night and say, boy, this must be a super modern radical reconstructionist synagogue. Could you ever hear something? Only two psukim for the ola? So therefore, we don't want that to happen, chas v'shalom. V'chein, hayotzin, sheyishmu esarisha. What happens to all those that were there for koyin, but they missed afterwards Levi? And they see the koyin got three psukim. Oh, very good. Oh, but there are only two psukim left to the laning. So they're going to go and say, V'yetzim beis ha-kinesis, V'yoyim le'yikra sheni al shnayim. They'll assume that the next one will only get two psukim. Same type of chash. The people that come in late, and the people that leave early. And therefore Shmuel says, the only eitz I have is to split the middle pasuk down the middle, and then when people hear that we split in the middle, they're, oh, of course I understand. Naturally. Normally we would never go and divide it. V'chadach nishka breira, I only have five psukim in breisha, so I have to go and split it up. He gets to an half, of course the next one to an half. I understand. Rubai kikulai, mitzis kikulai, it seems to be like the whole pasuk, yeah. So we won't have all of these concerns about the latecomers and the early leavers. So that's what Rav said. The Gemara doesn't go the next step, but we can, and that is, now we have the same thing, Rosh Chodesh, that you started off, that we have eight psukim at the beginning. So those three psukim, those eight psukim, we're going to go and divide up for three aliyahs. How? by repeating one pasuk. And as you all know, this morning we repeated pasuk Gimel v'yomar talehem. So the Kohen had Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, including v'yomar talehem. And Levi started off with Gimel v'yomar talehem, which was pasuk Gimel, and then pasuk Daled, and then pasuk Hey, finished. And then Shlishi had Vav, Zayin, and Ches, as well as v'yom haShabbos. So he had a nice aliyah. And then Ravi had Rosh Hashanah, our brother Shai, Rosh Hashanah until the end. So everything is great. And I'm sorry?
Thank you for that honor.
Yeah, it's an honor for us that you are with us and that you guide us. Anyway, the point is, says the Gemara, that we paskin like, as we'll see at the end, we paskin like Rav, and we did Dolek. Good. Frankly, more Meisvei. I have a kasha. Parsha, now this Braisa is going to tell us the basic root. Parsha Shor, Shisha, Psukim, Koyin, Oysim, Mishnayim. If you have a parsha only of six Psukim, no problem. You split it up. One gets three, the other gets three. Perfect. Vishal Chamishu, if you only have five Psukim, the Yachid, then you only give it to one Yachid. You can't split up five. So it goes to one Yachid. Before we continue on, this is where the Gemara's Kasha really hits. And that's more asked Meisvei. What's the Kasha? Why do you say when you have five Psukim, it has to be Yachid? I have two answers. Either according to Rav will be Doleg,
or we split,
or like Shmuel and will be Posek. We'll split it up. So why does it say Dafka Biyachid? The Gemara will ask the Kash in a few lines, but the point is that's where the Kash is. Now that's all Lichat Chila. What happens? Kara Rishon Shloisha. You have the five Psukim, and they called someone up, and he laid three Psukim, and he made the Bracha. And no, you should lay the Dalet Hay. Too late. He already made his Bracha. He's finished. Okay, Pasheni, the next person who's called up, Koresh Naimi Parshazu, he'll finish off the two psukim. The Echon mi Parsh Acheres, and he'll lay one more posik into the next parsha. And I know all of you are saying, didn't we say before, you're not allowed to go and lay only one posik in the next parsha? And that's the Yesh Oimrim. The Yesh Oimrim say, no Shloisha. When you're entering into the next parsha, you have to lay a minimum of three. You cannot stop abruptly in the beginning of a parsha. Once you start a new parsha, you got to lay at least three full psukim. Okay, that's the end of the braisa. Frank Dimara, why did we say at the outset if there are only five, koyre biyachin one person? Vimisa, lamandi amadolek nidlog, let's go and give it to two olim and repeat posse gimel. Ulamandi amaposek nifsoi, we should stop at Pasuk Gimel and split it down the middle. First person gets the first half, and the second person gets the second half. Everything Gemara Shani Hasim the Efshin Bahachi. When do we say Doleg Nidloig or Poisik Nifsoig? That's when you are circumscribed. You are limited in the amount of subject matter that you can go and lay. For instance, we're talking about Rish Chodesh. After of Rosh Chodesh, were we to continue, we'd start talking or talking about Pesach. B'chodesh Rishon Mabo Asiyem LaChodesh Pesach LaHashem B'chodesh Asiyem. Imagine today is Rosh Chodesh Shvat. We should start reading about Pesach. So I mean, that'd be inappropriate. Masha Enken, when you're talking about a regular parsha, for instance, on a regular Monday morning, if you don't have enough, so can just continue on. Take for instance, we have in Parshas Bereishis. Why don't we talk about my mother? Why don't we talk about Bereishis generally? Because, like every Parsha, you just make sure there are three for the first, three for the second, three for the third, as much as it takes to go and do that. So you have, for instance, the beginning of Bereishis, they only have five. On Monday of Parshas Bereishis, what do you typically do? The first one lanes five psukim, the Levi lanes three psukim, Yom Sheni, and the next person lanes into Yom Shlishi, and he lanes the whole Yom Shlishi, which is another five psukim. Mishkefel. Oh, you could do the same thing in Mamadis, but for some reason the Gemara felt that that was not, was too much of an overlap, because the whole Mamadis is every day, you're doing the day of the creation. So Yom Rishon you're doing, Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, doing Sheni, Shlishi, Shlishi. If you're going to do Yom Rishon, all three, one, two, and three, and then on Beis you're going to do the same thing, then you kind of lose track of which day you're talking about at the Mamadis.
Is there any other reading besides Rosh Chodesh where this is a problem?
For us, this is the only time.
Yeah.
In the times of Beis Hamikdash, you had the problem with the Mamadis. Exactly right. So getting back to our Gemara, so it says
the Gemara... Yes. In the time that we repeat also.
Which, where do we repeat?
Vechal, don't we...
What you're thinking is that we are doling that we skip.
Oh, yeah.
After we finish the first aliyah, then we turn one and two, we go to the next one. But we don't repeat.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. Will we repeat Hashem Hashem? The Baal Kore says it, everybody says it. But that you know. Good. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. Okay, so the why did we say by the five it's split it up or repeat it? That Bryce is talking about that you have a whole parish in front of you. So therefore you have five psukim, give that to one Ole. The next person will read from the next parish, and the next one, the minimum of a parish, the smallest parish is Vayelech, you got 30 psukim. You got room for 7 for sure, close to 10. So the point is, there's a lot of room for adding more and more and more, so you don't have to go repeat and you don't have to split. Good. Shani Hosn, Nef Shabachim. Omrim Tadchim, Omrim B'Shem Alevi. Halocha Ki Yesh Oimrim, we paskin like the Yesh Oimrim. Who's the Yesh Oimrim? Yesh Oimrim is 5 lines earlier, that when the Ola leaned 2 psukim from that prior parsha, he's going on to the next parsha, you have to lean 3 new psukim. You don't start a new parasha less than 3 psukim. We pass on like that Yeshayman. The Yomer of Tadchum Rabbi Shuma Levi, Keshem Shem Maschilin the parasha Pachas Mishloish Psukim, just like you cannot start a new parasha and leave off after 1 or 2 psukim. Kachin Mishayin the parasha Pachas Mishloish Psukim, when you finish off a parasha, you also cannot finish off less than 3 psukim. Pray to Rabbi Shita, why did Rabbi Shuma Levi have to tell us that? I know that that is the case. What do you mean that I know? The Yesh Omrim addressed only the case of beginning a new parasha. You start a new parasha, you can't just start one pasuk. You got to learn all 3 psukim. Says now, Shuma Levi, just like he said, that you can't start and leave off after 1 or 2 psukim, you have to learn a minimum of 3. Also, when you conclude a parasha, you got to leave a minimum of 3. Well, that's pshita. Why is it pshita? Because hashta. Uma'aschalta, in the case of haschola, where you're beginning a brand new parasha, the kamekel tanekama, but machmiri yesh oimrim. In the case of haschola, the tanekama is mekel. How do I see the tanekama is mekel? Because right before the yesh oimrim, what did the tanekama say? If the previous ole had 5 psukim available, he only lained 3, the next Ola reads the remaining 2, and what does he do? He adds 1 more. What about Yishom? You have to do 3 more. The Tanakama is Mekel. 1 more is enough. You don't have to lane 3 more. So matter the Tanakama by Haskola, entering into a new parasha, he's Mekel, you only have to do 1 passing. Machmir Yishom. But the Yishom and Machmir, they say, no, you got to lane 3. Noobs. Okay. Shir. To machmir Tanakama, when it comes to leaving over psukim, the Tanakama is machmir. How do I know the Tanakama is machmir? Because the Tanakama said, lichatchila, you have 5 psukim, read all 5 psukim, don't leave any over. Chamisha psukim biyachid. What would be so terrible? I lane 3 and I leave. We don't leave over less than 3. You Tanakama, starting a brand new parasha, you weren't so nervous about that, and you said 1 pasuk. No, okay, 1 pasuk. But to end off, no, don't even think about it. You have to leave over 3. So I see that the Tanakama is machmir to shiur, to leave over to machmir Tanakama. Like Koshkin, the machmir Yeshom, the Ravavi Yeshom are going to be machmir.
So can you just repeat where he's making the Tanakama's makil and where is machmir?
Very good question. The answer is, the Tanakama said that what happens if the person, the first guy, we'll call him the Kohen, he went and lane 3 psukim out of 5. Mm-hmm. How many have left?
2.
The next person, the Levi,
you just give him 1 more.
Yes, 1 more.
Right.
Why don't you go in 3 more?
No, come on.
Because he's Mekel. Okay. 1 more is enough.
Right.
And that's the Haskola, entering into
right.
his Mekel.
Right.
Let's go over the same case again. You have the Kohen. We tell the Kohen, L'chatchila, how many psukim should you lane? There are only 5 there. How many should you lane? Lane all 5. Why? I'm happy to lane 3. No, we don't want you to lane 3. Because then you're going to be leaving over how many psukim at the end?
2.
So what's so terrible about 2? Because there's a minimum, you got to leave over 3. when it came to being maschil to start the new one, no, one is enough. It's okay. He was maker.
Right.
But to leave over, then he's very strict. No, no, no. Make sure to leave over three. Don't leave over two.
So it's not symmetric.
Well, it's not that it's not symmetric. We see that the Tanakhama has a bigger chumrah. He's machmir more in leaving over the parsha to make sure that there are three. And that's why he said, don't go and lay in only three psukim. You're only going to leave over two. Don't do it. They're very machmir there.
Right.
However, to start a new parsha, one is enough. It's okay. Nishkefel. So, we see from this that the chacham are more machmir by the ending of a parsha than at the beginning of a parsha.
Uh-huh.
So the Yesh Omrim that were very machmer at the beginning of the parsha, and they say we have to have three, then certainly they're going to be machmer at ending the parsha that you also have to have three.
Right, so the Tanakhama is not consistent.
Oh, so we're going to see why the Tanakhama is not consistent in a moment. But all the Gemara is asking now, Rav Shu ben Levi, why did he have to say that the Yesh Omrim will hold by the ending of the parsha that you similarly need three? Just like the beginning, I see from this Kal Vachomer, where the Tanakhama is Mekel in entering into a new parsha. He is Machmir, the ending of a parsha. Right. So the Yesh Omrim that are Machmir in the entering into a parsha, they're certainly going to be Machmir by the ending of a parsha. Right? It's a good Akasha. Everything in Mara, no.
One more question. What? Just so I understand. When we talk about a parsha, we're talking about a new subject matter? Is that how we're dividing it?
What you're saying is accurate, but that's not, strictly speaking, what we mean. When we say parsha, means any time that it begins at the beginning of the line, or at least the beginning, the middle of the line, like we have a pay here, and the word ends. You have a pay. So this entire part, from pay to pay,
is called
a paragraph. So a new paragraph. Paragraph's not necessarily subject matter.
Right. Typically, it's a different paragraph. It is different for subject matter. But the key over here is the way it's divided into back paragraphs and indented in the Torah. That's exactly right. Good. So I'm sorry, I should have explained that earlier. But getting back to our Gemara, so Gemara says now, so why did Rabbi Shua ben Levi have to say, according to the Yesh Omrim, that he's going to be Machmir in that case? Says, well, I'll tell you why. What does the Gemara mean to say? So you remember when we brought up this inyan about leaving over three psukim at the end, starting a new parasha with three psukim, we said we're going to explain over here what this is all about. And this is now the time that we have to go and explain it. So now it would be good to go and look in the Rashi quickly. This is about a quarter down the Rashi's, a quarter down, about 20 lines. Everybody has that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sorry, you have to. Okay. Kishem Shein Maschil in the Parsha.
Okay. Got it.
You got it, Daddy?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. Rabbi Shai?
Yeah.
You're with us. Good. Zuk Rashi. Kishem Shein Maschil in the Parsha, Pachad Mishleisha Psukim. You cannot start a brand new Parsha less than three Psukim. You know why? Gazeda Mishim HaNechnosim. New people that just arrived on the scene. If you would have finished off the previous lane, let's go back to Gemara. You had five psukim initially. The Kohen took the first three. The Levi laned three, two of the remaining parasha, one into the new parasha. So you know what's going to happen? Somebody comes into shul, shiv sevurim leikorizeh aleshnei psukim shalas chol parasha zu. He'll think that the earlier reader, the earlier ola, only had one pasuk or two psukim, because he sees that the new ola is starting from pasuk gimel or pasuk beis.
So that's similar to previous.
Exactly, yeah. same as what we talked about before. It's all because of the latecomers. If people would come on time, we wouldn't have these problems.
Why are we moving mountains for accommodations? I mean, it's the tardiness. Yeah, we're rewarding.
They'll think that the person who lamed before, so Haskolas Parshazu, they'll assume that he only lained two psukim. They weren't there. They don't know that he already lained from the previous parsha, that he already had two psukim or one pasuk, and now he added on another one or two. They don't know that. And therefore, that's why we say, start each parsha, read three psukim, and then end the aliyah, because if somebody comes in, he'll say, oh, so the previous aliyah had three pesukim. Yeah, of course, that's right, sure. That's why they do in my shul too. You always have three pesukim, sure, of course. Kach ein mishayre. Now this is the other end, that when you're ending off a parasha, don't leave over less than three, because gzeira misham hayoytzin, somebody who's going to leave abruptly, right? Cohen had three pesukim, there are two left. He has to leave. I'm sorry, goodbye everybody, have to run to a closing. If he thinks that the next person, he'll assume he's going to just lay two more psukim. Say, well, these reconstructionist guys in my shul, they're very mad, but always three psukim. Obviously, the next one is only going to get two psukim. So that's the exam mishum ha'knosim u'mishum ha'yotzim. Coming back to our Gemara, four lines before the wide lines, we asked, what's the reason why you had to go and say that according to the Yesh Oimrim that they're machmir not only at the Haschola and also at the conclusion? Because says the Gemara, I'll tell you why I had to tell you. Because Maud is same in Nechnosim, Shchichi. That new people come on the scene, that happens all the time. People come late to davening. That's just a fact of life. There's nothing you do about it. But Yoitzin, the people shall leave in the middle of laying loy shchichi. That's very, very rare. Why? To manchi sefer Torah v'nafki. To leave a sefer Torah there open, laying, and they leave in the middle. That's a shtickle. So I would think, I don't have to worry about leaving. Yeah, of course, there will always be emergencies, but how often does it happen? Once in a yoivah. It's a dover shlo shchiyach. We don't have to be geyser. Kamash malam, we gotta be geyser. So now the Gemara is asking, like you asked before, Ariel, what is the consistency with the Tanakama? By Shiure, he says, make sure, don't go and lane three, and leave over two, because people will think the next Ali is only going to be two psukim. So therefore the Chum say, go and lay the whole five at once, to machmi by the case of shiuri. And why by haschola do they say, but if the first one laned three, the next one can lane two, and one into the next parasha? Why aren't they worried about the aschuli maishna shiuri deloi mishum yoitzim? You're worried about people that left. Eschuli nami gzeira mishum anechnosa, like we just explained. Every Gemara, the Chachamim take a very practical approach. Amri, mandi ayil shiyule shayil. A person who comes in late and he sits down and he sees that Levi is beginning from the second posuk in that parasha, how could that be? What, the Kohen only got one? Hey, Yankel, can you explain to me? The Kohen only got one posuk? Well, what's going on over here? I know that you guys are super religious. What's that? He says, yeah, don't worry. You missed the first aliyah. The person before him, he already laid 25 psukim and he added one more. Don't worry, he had plenty of psukim. Don't worry about it. Oh, see, he gets sweat comes off of his brow. He can take a few tissues and he can rest assured. However, what about the person that has to leave early? And what happens is, the Koyin lane, three psukim. He leaves over two psukim. You and I that are staying in shul are going to hear that the next old is going to lane two, and in the next parish is going to lane another one or two or three. But the person who leaves, he doesn't know that. He just knows that we left two psukim over here, and he's going to rush to the subway. He's going to ask the conductor, did you hear what happened in shul? We just lane three, and we're going to leave for Levi only two psukim. And the conductor will say, sir, please put your mask on or get off the subway, right? He's not going to know the answer. He's not in shul. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So therefore, the Chum said, the people that come in late, they don't have to worry about it. They'll already make a tumult, they'll ask, what happened? And they'll be informed. But the people that leave early, nobody's going to tell them. Make sure to leave over the parashas three full.
That's why Tanakam was machmir at the end.
Yeah, at the end, but not at the beginning. Exactly. So now it works out. Baruch Hashem. Now that we've gone through this very exciting discussion, what's halacha l'maisa? Sholach le'ir rabba b'reid d'rabba d'rav Yosef. Hilchas amai. We have a machlokes between Rab and Shmuel. Lidlok or Lifsolk. What do we do? Now, where is this case of Hilchas amai? I would think by Rish Chodesh, no? And what do we do? Look at Rashi. Hilchas amai. Rashi b'shol mamodois. Bishol mamodois. What do we do by the mamodois?
Yeah.
Do we go and repeat the pasuk? Or do we split the pasuk? This Rashi is a little bit difficult. Why?
It's not including Rosh Chodesh.
Number one. And number two, when's the last time we had Mamadris?
Not in Tamarashi.
A couple of thousand years ago, right, we had the Beis Hamikdash. And we have to Shem Bikarev, hopefully today, tomorrow, the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt. We'll have Mamadris once again.
So but in the meantime... more shy for Rashi to ask, why not Rosh Chodesh?
Exactly! Aria, what do I do without you? You're exactly right. So... L'choyde, that's an Eizen Akasha. Rosh Chodesh is Nogea 12 times a year. Not 12 times a year,
and certainly
not on Rosh Hashanah. But how many times we have? 2 days Rosh Chodesh. Uh-huh, so, right? Anyway, so this is Nogea L'maisa. Mamadis is not Nogea L'maisa. You have other Gemaras in Seder Kodshim where the Gemara asks Hilchas Amai, and then the Gemara is saying, Hilchas L'Mashiacha. When Mashiach comes, and Mi'at Hashem, Eliyahu HaNavi will be there. Tish B'Yataris, because you have any Shailas, you ask Eliyahu HaNavi, you'll ask Melech HaMashiach, you'll ask the Gaboyim in the Beis Hamikdash. What are you asking today for? It's not Nagia L'Maisa by Mamadis. But Rosh Chodesh, it is Nagia. Evni Mar Sholech Leh, he told him, Hilchasa, Doleh, you repeat the Pasuk, the Emtsoi Dolgan, and the middle one does the repetition, he does the repeat. Oh, so let me ask you, Rabbi Isai, on Rish Chodesh, how many Aliyahs do we have?
Four.
Four. Who's the Emtsoi?
Nobody.
You have two. You have two Emtsois. You have two middle guys. The Koyin is the first, the Vi is the last, but the two in the middle. And based on this, in fact, there is a Machloikis Lahalocha. We are not aware of this because no one is knowing this way to my knowledge. However, the Ramban writes that instead of repeating V'yamarta Lehem like we did this morning, he says, you lane Aleph Beis and Gimel V'yamarta Lehem. Then the Sheni, the Levi, lanes Dalid, Hey, and Vav through Oilas Tamid. I only got two psukim left. Shlishi lanes over the Oilas Tamid Oasuya. Not to repeat the V'yamarta Lehem, but the Oilas Tamid. Because he's also an emtsoi.
Right.
Who says that the Sheni is the emtsoi, the Shlishi is the emtsoi? So, the way that Ramban learns that the emtsoi goes on the second one, not on the first emtsoi. Maybe that's the reason Rashi wanted to avoid that kasha. Because Rashi says, Mamodis, how many aliyahs do we have? Only three aliyahs. So the middle one is the one that's going to repeat it. They don't have any question, which was the emtsoi? If you're going to talk about Rosh Chodesh, says Rashi, I don't want to get involved in that one. After all, the Moriah says emtsoi. Number two is Emtsoi, number three is Emtsoi. Which Emtsoi? So therefore says Rashi Mamadis, but Mamela will learn from the Halacha. Mamadis, the same thing applies to Rish Chodesh.
Mm-hmm.
Which Aliyah, says Rashi, I'll leave that to the other Rishonim, and that we have a Machlekes. We follow the Amar Tulhan Pasuk Gimel, that's the meaning in Klal Yisrael generally. Maybe there are exceptions to the rule, but the Oyvas Tamid, that's the way that Ramban learned, and other Rishonim talk about that as well. So that's Halacha L'maisa, and that's why, even though normally you would say about Mamadis, Hilchas L'mashicha, but Rashi, I think, was forced to say that it's talking about Mamadis because it says Emtsoi, and only on Mamadis do you have a middle one because you have three aliyahs, as opposed to Mishchodesh, we have four.
What does Hilchas L'mashicha mean?
Hilchas L'mashicha means, why are you asking this type of Halacha, which will only apply when Mashiach comes? We'll worry about it when we get to it. What's the English expression? We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. You don't have to worry about it now. So, we have plenty more to learn. You can tell my mother's being finished. Things will be rebuilt. We'll worry about it then. And we continue on to the more about Zehakla. Okay, the good news is that from here, it's pretty smooth sailing, because from here we don't have to look at the psukim. It should go very quick.
And then cruise.
Remember yesterday in the Mishnah we had, on a regular Monday and Thursday we lay three. On Rish Chodesh and Chol HaMoed we lay four. On Yom Tov we lay five. On Yom Kippur we lay six. And on Shabbos we lay seven. We left out one major laning day that we didn't discuss. And that is Tanis. Tanis Tzibur. What do we do then? Do you lay three, four, five, six? Zokimah. Iboilu. Tanis Tzibur Bekam. Rish Chodesh u'moyed di'ikar karben musaf. What's the distinguishing factor of Rish Chodesh and Chol HaMoed over a regular Monday and Thursday? Oh, there's a karben musaf. So therefore, there's a hoysofas kedusha. So we have now four aliyahs. Av hachav lekar karben musaf. It's a karben time of tzibur. There's no karben musaf, right? And musaf is only on a Shabbos and a Yom Tov on Rish Chodesh, not Tuesday in the middle of the week. There is no, it's the time of Sibu, you know, Kar Musaf. It's right. So therefore, you only have three aliyahs. Oy Dilma, Hachanami Ika Moisef Tfila. You don't have a full Musaf in times of Beis Migdash Karbonos, and in our times of long Musaf Shmoneh Esrei, but you do add to the regular tefillah, what do you add, says Rashi? You add Aneinu, which is also an additional bracha. So maybe that Hoysof is enough to be Moisef another Aliyah as well.
What about Haftorah also?
That you're thinking about by Mincha, what happened, for instance, Shacharis and Panasibur. You have the identical question. Should it be three or should it be four?
Mm-hmm.
There you have the additional Aneinu, which is said by the Shliach Tzibur, even though the Kohol doesn't say it, but the Shliach Tzibur says it. So, should there be three? Should there be four? It's not Shema. Also, let's be medayik. Let's make an inference. There is four. Habatayim Tzibur is only three. Oh, sounds good. But let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. B'sheni b'chamishi. And u'bishabbos b'mincha, koyin gimel, you go in lane three. It's a mashma, only Monday and Thursdays a mincha. Hatanas tzibur arba. So therefore we make a reverse inference. So which inference is better than the other? Neither. No, we cannot prove our point from our Mishnah. So Toshima, let's try to bring a raya from Rav. Rav is considered to be one of the first Amayroim, as well as occasionally the Gemara will say Rav Tanahu Upalik, meaning that Rav bridged the gap, the period between the Tanoim and Amayroim. So although he's considered to be the first or one of the first Amayroim, but occasionally we refer to him as a late Tanah. So what happened? Rav Ikle Bavel. Rav traveled to Bavel, Betanas Tzibur on Tanas Tzibur, and he did two things of note which are quoted in the Gemara. Number one, Kom Kar B'Sifra, he had an aliyah, and he read at the Sefer Torah. Pasach, when he began his aliyah, Baruch, he made a bracha. Chosim B'Mei Baruch, when he finished the aliyah, he did not say the final bracha. Ashenosim Lenu Teres Emes, he didn't make a final bracha. Now you remember we had yesterday in the Mishnah and then in the Gemara, then the time of the Mishnah, in fact, it was only the first one who got the first aliyah, he made a bracha rishona, and the final aliyah made the bracha achrona, and all the middle olim didn't make a bracha at all. And then the Gemara said at the end, for Idna, but today everybody makes a bracha lefanel l'acharel. Again, mishum ha-nichnosim and mishum ha-yotzim, the people that come late and the people that leave early, they're going to say, nobody makes brachas over here. So have everybody make brachas.
So can we assume he's a kohen from this?
No, we're not finished yet. Right? Okay. You're putting your finger on the next shikul gemara. We're going to get to it. But in the meantime, Rav comes to Bavel. He got an aliyah. He made the initial bracha. He did not make the final bracha. Okay. Then the Gemara tells us something else, which we're going to deal with on the Amud Beis, that Nofel Kuli Alma Anpayu, when it came time for Tachnun, everybody fell down and did Nefilas Apayim. For Rav Lo Nofel Alapi, but Rav did not do Nefilas Apayim. He may have said the words of Tachnun, but he didn't fall Nefilas Apayim. We'll discuss it on the Amud Beis. Stay tuned. Let's go back to us. Mechti. Rav Yisrael Kar. Rav undoubtedly got Shlishi. Why? Because says Rashi, because Rav was not a Kohen and he's not a Levi. If you're not a Kohen, not a Levi, and it's a Tanis, presumably he got Shlishi, right? We assume there was a Kohen in the shul. So Mechti Rav Yisrael Kar, presumably he got Shlishi. My time Chosim Libar. So why didn't he make the final bracha? He should have made the, if that's the final Aliyah, he should have made the final bracha. Why Chosim Libar? Because probably there was a Revi after him, and the Revi made the final bracha, like we had in our Mishnah. Right. So we can be positive that there are altogether four aliyahs. It's more like, you have no right. Rav the Kahani Kara. Rav got the aliyah of Kohen, even though he wasn't the Kohen. The Rav Huna Kari the Kahani. Rav Huna, who was, by the way, a Talmud of Rav, he was considered to be the Gadol Hador of his generation. He always got the kibbut of Kohen. And therefore, if Rav Huna got the kibbut of Kohen, probably Rav got the kibbut of Kohen, because Rav was also the Gadol Hador in his day. So he probably got Kohen. And if he got Kohen, that's the reason why he wouldn't make the final bracha. Because he's not, that's not because he got Shlishi, because he's Kohen. Yeah. That would be the reason why. Says he, well, no, that's not nothing. Don't bring me a raya from Rav Huna. Mishlam Rav Huna Kari Bekani. You know why Rav Huna got the first aliyah? Do have filu. Rav Ami v'Rav Asi, the Kahani Chashiv of the Arad Yisrael. Rav Ami v'Rav Asi, who were great giants on their own, and they were considered to be the Kahanim Chashuvim of Eretz Yisrael, make of Kaifel in Rav Huna. When Rav Huna would come in, they would subject themselves as if that's their master, they're the servants. Rav Huna, who? Rav Huna, the God of Hador, and they would be like Afra the Ara, like dust on the ground in front of him. So therefore, that's why Rav Huna got the Koyin and not Rav Ami, not Rav Asi, and no other Kohanim. And the Rav wasn't singular and unique. Ha'ika Shmuel. Shmuel lived in the same era as Rav. In fact, almost every day we have a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Liflik Bolig or Nifsik Posik. So you see, Nidloik, right? That was a Machlokes Dolig or Posik. So Rav and Shmuel were contemporaries and L'choira on a similar madrega, as we'll see in a moment. El Rav Ika Shmuel the Kahana Haba, and Shmuel was a Koyin. And not only that, Udvar Alei. Rashi says Udvar Alei means that Rav gave tremendous kavod to Shmuel. And therefore, Rav wouldn't have taken Koyin, because Shmuel is so great, and Rav was mechabed him. So Ibn Azai must be, therefore, that Rav didn't get Koyin, but Rav got Shlishi, and that's why he didn't go and finish off the last bracha, because there's a Ravi, so I have a raya that there are four Olim on Rosh Chodesh. He says, well, no, you don't have a raya. Shmuel nami mekev kavakakul ego Rav. Shmuel was, in fact, subservient to Rav. For Rav who the ovenly covered, and Rav was the one that did covered for Shmuel. He was really going out of his way to show covered, even though Rav was the greater master than Shmuel. The Gemara doesn't tell us why ovenly covered.
Are they saying that someone would get the Kohen Aliyah when he wasn't a Kohen, when they were Kohanim in the Gehillah?
What the Gemara is telling us is that if you have a particularly outstanding gadol among the Israelim who's in shul, the Kahanim would waive their rights in favor of that great. Today in Shulchan Aruch it says that the minhag is no matter who comes into shul, you always give the Kohen, because that way you don't have to deal with it. Some Kohanim may not want to waive their rights, some may be very insistent, and some people say, that is a fraud, it's not true, he doesn't know anything. So, not to get into machlokes. But in the times of Chazal, if they had a recognized God, the Moshe Feinstein would come in, all the Kohanim would say, in front of the Moshe, he gets Kohen, I'm like nothing, I'll go on the ground for a Moshe. But that's not the custom today, because you don't want to get into fights and problems and issues. Yes, standard rule, like, look, all Kohanim get Kohen. Now your question.
You said from this whole back and forth, we learned that there's four in Rosh Chodesh, right?
So far, we're not finished.
We said the original story, the Rav Ikla Lubava Batanis Tzibor, not on Rosh Chodesh.
We don't have a Tzibor, if I said Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah, that's why you said Rosh Chodesh.
I'm sorry, I apologize.
So I'm saying we learned from Tanis Tzibor that we call a four.
We're not done yet.
Okay, so that's why you said Rosh Chodesh.
Sorry, if I said Rosh Chodesh, I apologize again. And you're not supposed to say Tachman on Rosh Chodesh. I'm sorry. But anyway, the bottom line, and this I also have to now go and clap that. Good, so let's going back. We're talking about Tanis Tzibor. We're not talking about Rosh Chodesh. You're absolutely right, Ariel. Whoever is listening to the tape, go back and delete it from the tape. So, we're now, again, Rav got an Aliyah. We don't know which Aliyah. We're trying to figure that out. We assume that he got Yisrael. And if he got Yisrael, then why didn't he make a bracha at the end? It must be because there's somebody behind him. There's going to be a Ravi. And so you see that on Titus Tzibor, there are four Aliyahs. So the Gemara said, no. Maybe he had Koyin. And if he had Koyin, then maybe there were only three Aliyahs. How could he have Koyin? After all, there were other Kehanim. No. You see, Rav Huna, even though there were other Kehanim, Rav Huna took Koyin. Yeah, but don't tell me that about Rav, because Rav had Shmuel. And Rav wouldn't go and take away Shmuel's Aliyah, because Shmuel was so great. And even though Shmuel was less than Rav, but Rav was Mechabed Shmuel. This is where we're up to. The Gemara doesn't tell us why he was Mechabed, but Rashi goes and alludes to a Gemara at the end of Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara at the end of Masechta Shabbos says that Rav had some sort of medical condition, some sort of intestinal problems, and he did not know, but Shmuel, who was a doctor, said, let's try to help Rav out. I don't remember the specifics. I believe it says in the Gemara that he said, lock Rav into the bathroom or something like that until he totally relieves himself and gets out, and then he'll be back to normal again. And in fact, an hour or two later, Rav came out, and Baruch Hashem, he was healed. But during the time that he was there, he was very upset at the one that gave this eitzah because he was in terrible pain. And therefore, at that time, Rav said something nasty and said, whoever did that to me, who was causing me all of this tzar, I'm in agony! So Rav was critical. When he came out, he heard that it was the great Shmuel who was his doctor. Shmuel was a doctor, Gemara tells us a few times. So he didn't realize that. So ever since then, he went over to Shmuel, he was mechabed with the gress to cover him, so sorry, etc., etc. Anyway, but bottom line is, since Rav was greater than Shmuel, so maybe he did get kohen after all. Even when Rav did show cover to Shmuel, he only did when Shmuel's around. If Shmuel's not around, he's going to say abracadabra. You know, Shmuel's here, I'm going to mechabed him. He's not here. And hokanami mustab. So bottom line is, says the Gemara, it's very, very possible that Rav got koyin. And hokanami mustab the Rav kani kara. I'll bring you a ride that Rav got koyin. Tisokadaitach b'Yisrael kara. If you're telling me he got the third aliyah, lefaneha my time baruch. Remember, in the story we said he made the bracha rishoina, but he didn't make the bracha achroina. If you're shlishi, what are you doing the bracha rishoina for? That was already by the kohen a long time ago. Muzdach zayin lechayin, that he got the first aliyah as kohen. Aye, what about Shmuel? Shmuel was less than Rav, and even though Rav was mechabed him, but he was only mechabed him if he was present. If Shmuel was home and he wasn't there, Rashi says that Rav was in one town and Shmuel was in Ne'edah. It doesn't tell us which town, but the Gemara elsewhere says that Rav was in Surah. Shmuel was in Ne'edah. So if Shmuel's not in Shul, Rav took a koyin. So what's the problem? So Chayyavite have a raya, then it's koyin. Zog the Gemara, not Nishka Raya. It could be that's the Achatakana, and the Achatakana, everybody started making the Bracha Rishoina, even the Sheini, even the Shlishi, everybody did the Bracha Rishoina. Break the mark in one second. If you're telling me after the Takana, where everybody's making the Bracha, then just like everybody's making the first Bracha,
why
everybody's
also
the making
final?
After Reyachid Achre Anamim Libra. So why didn't he make the final Bracha? Whether he was Shlishi, whether he was Ravi, why didn't he make the final Bracha? So I'll tell you why. Shani Heichad Yosef Rav, the male Eili, Mefek Loi Navki. What does this mean? It says that where Rav lived, you had people that Taka came in late. That's the nature of things everywhere throughout Klai Yisrael. You have people that come in late. But nobody left early, says the top Rashi. Hilka Lifoneha Borich. That's why they were Mesakin locally in Rav's town. Everybody made a bracha lefaneha, because they mishum ha-nechnasim, people that came in. If they would hear that an Ola gets up and he doesn't make the bracha rishoina, they'll say, hey, what's going on? Why didn't he make a bracha? Here, they don't make first brachas over here in our shul. Pshah, funny shul. Ken min liel. L'achre loy baruch. Why? What would be the reason why you go make a bracha? Everybody should make a bracha at the end, because people leave in the middle of laning and they say, "Hey, they didn't make an end bracha. I don't know what's going on. They didn't wait till the next aliyah or three aliyahs later when there's going to be the end bracha." But in Rav's town, nobody left early, so you don't have to be choishish liyotzin, and therefore every one of the olim made a first bracha, but no one made a final bracha until the final aliyah. And if that's the case now, l'maisa, we have no raya from the story of Rav. Because Rav may have gotten koyin, Shmuel wasn't around, Shmuel was ne'edah, or he might have gotten shlishi. The reason why he made a first bracha is because everybody made a first bracha. The reason why he didn't do an end bracha, if he was koyin, because of course a koyin's not going to make an end bracha, there are another two aliyahs to go, or three aliyahs to go. And if it was shlishi, maybe that's the reason why he didn't make me, because maybe there's a ravi. Maybe yes, maybe no. So this story of Rav is inconclusive as to whether or not there are three aliyahs on Tainus Tzibur or four aliyahs. But we're not concluded with the question. Toshima, I have a brisa directly on point. Zehaklal, this is the rule. Koshi yesh bebitam alachali am. When people have to leave shul and go to work, kigoyin on Tainus Tzibur or on Tisha B'Av, Rashi points out that this is one of those places where they were noheg to do malacha on Tisha B'Av, because at the end of Masechtas Tanis we learned that some places there was an absolute minhag not to work on Tisha B'Av, and some places there were mekel, yes to work. This price it goes in those places where there were mekel, yes to go and work on Tisha B'Av. Koyen Gimel, you only lane three. Oh, so it's very clear. Tanis Sibur, how many? Three. And of course that's the halacha l'maisa. V'she'imai bit l'malacha, keep going. La'am, kigoyin reshe chadoshim, v'choy l'shul moyed, koyin arba shmamina. Now that there is no malacha la'am on chol moyed, that we understand. If there's no malachas dover ha'oved, if a person doesn't have to work on chol moyed, he's not supposed to work on chol moyed. So I understand this bit of malacha. What is this bit of malacha on Rosh Chodesh? Today is Rosh Chodesh. Brother Shai, are you going to be doing some work today?
Yeah, but my wife didn't do it with laundry.
Ah, so
is that the work?
So Brother Shai tells us the reason is because of his wife. And Brother Shai is directly on point. If you look at Rashi, look at Rashi, look at Rashi. The second narrow line, Rashi Chadashim. Ein by mitzvah malacha kol tach. You know why? She'ein hanashim oisais malacha behen. Women have the custom not to work on Rish Chodesh. V'chanami amrinim b'sechsas Rosh Hashanah, gabim masuah, etc. V'shamati, skip a line, v'shamati mipi moira zoki. Shenitmel lehem mitzvah zu, v'shvil shuay pirku nizmeyan the egel. When it came time for the egel, and then Aharon HaKohen to try to delay everyone said, why don't you go, let's go and put together this fire, let's go and put together the egel, and guess what happened? They asked their wives, give me your nose rings, give me your earrings, give me this, that, and the other. And the women said, Aloy mitan aleph, we do not agree, we're not going to give it for this egel. You foolish men, go make an egel, a statue. Wow, what's the statue going to help? Continues on, look in the parentheses, a Tosefis to the Rashi. Vanimatsasi, Meperek, Memhei, the Brice of it, the Rebbe Lezer, Shamu Hanoshim, Vleirotsu, Litin, Nizmele, Balein. They heard their husband's demands that they want the Nizam, and Nizam are nose rings, and they said, no, we're not giving it to you. El Omrulahen, Atem, Roitzim, Masis, Pesel, Masechash, Ein, Bei, Koyach, Lahatzel. You want to go make this funny looking statue in the fire? It doesn't have any strength to help us. Gave them their reward. That the women have one yontif more than we, the men, have. Every Rosh Chodesh is a yontif for the women. In Olam Haba, they're going to get another reward. They're going to be mischadish. Shenemar tischadish kinesh nuroichi adkan. Anyway, bottom line is, what do we see from this? That Rosh Chodesh is a Yom Tov, and you don't do work, not for the men, it's for the ladies. So that's a very, very beautiful story. What does it have to do with the Gemara? Tell all the men, you can have today four aliyahs, because the ladies are not going to go and do any work today. The ladies are not going to get the aliyahs. It's the men getting the aliyahs. What does one thing have to do with the other? So apparently what Rashi is telling us, and I think this is what Brother Shai was saying a moment ago, that if it's a Yom Tov for the women, they're going to want their men to spend a little bit more time with them. And they're going to say, after davening, you're not going to rush off to the office, you're going to sit down, we're going to wash, make a sudas Rosh Chodesh, we're going to enjoy the Rosh Chodesh.
Or do the laundry.
Women always want to speak to them.
Yeah, they want companionship. Yeah. How was your day? Or you know that type.
Exactly. Have some minutes of substance instead of just rushing off. Have some what they call quality time together. With
bonding.
Bonding. Exactly. It's a chashtikul yontif, and that's why four aliyahs on that day. Anyway, Baruch Hashem Shema Mina. We have ended this inquiry. We know for sure it's all together three on a Tanasir. One second, we're not finished. Amar Rav Ashi, Vanan Leitanan Hachi, I'm going to be Medayik from our Mishnah. What did it say in the Mishnah? Zeakla, Kol Yom Shiyesh, Pei Musaf, any Yontif. If it's a day where there's Musaf and there's no Yontif, Ki Koyrin Arbo'a. Now what is that Zeakla, right? Whenever you have Zeakla, it comes to add something. What does it come to add? Lasuyamat. Lav Lasuyatana Sibur, but Tishabov, isn't it coming to include that Tana Sibur and Tishabov that they're also four aliyahs on that day?
Why? There's no Musaf on the Tanis Sibur.
You're 100% right, but it's out to the Zihaklal. Since we're trying to pack in others, you're right. It's not for the same reason. It's not because of Musaf, not because of Yom, it's not a Yom Tov in Tanis Sibur, but nevertheless, it's an additional day special, mm-hmm. So maybe like that special is also special for. Frank Mordon Ravashi, Masnisen Mani. If you're going to go and tell us that that's shot in the Mishnah, that there are four aliyos, then Lechoira, it's Loitanikam of Loitabioisi Desanya. then of the following braisa, which we're going to learn right now, then our Mishnah will not be consistent either like the Tanakhama, nor like Rabbi Yossi. What does it say in the braisa? The Sanya. Chol yois b'sheni b'chamishi. What happens if Tisha B'av falls out on Mondays or Thursdays? Koyrin Gimel, we lane three aliyos, umaftir echad. And the aliyah number three goes and lanes maftir. The reason why there are three aliyahs, because on Monday and Thursday there are always three aliyahs. So even though we're laning something different, because it's Tatanis Tzibur, it's Tisha B'av, but nevertheless we retain the number of three. However, if it's B'shlishi B'Ravi, if Tanis Tzibur, or if Tisha B'av falls out on Tuesdays or Wednesday, Kari Echad, only one aliyah, Maftir Echad, and that one Ola also gets Maftir. So you can call him up, Ya Amoy, Da-da-da, Koyin, Laivi, Shlishi Maftir. It's only one person, and he gets everything. The whole kit and caboodle. That's a Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi Omer, La'olam Koyin Gimel, Maftir Echad. It really makes no difference whether the Tanis comes out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Every single day, it comes out three aliyos, and the last one is Maftir, of course, by Mincha, not by Shach. Anyway, so what do I see from that? The Tanakhama says either one or three, and Rabbi Yossi says always three. And you, Rav Ashi, wanted to bring a ride from a Mishnah that there are four. So Tumara, it's Velikasha. So then the question is, Zehaklal, what is the Zehaklal comes to be Marba? You're going to tell me, La Suye Rosh Chodesh Umayyad? Hajitani La, Barashi Chadashim Umayyad, Koyin Arba. It already says in the Mishnah explicitly, I don't have to make inferences and ziyak clouds and general rules. It says clearly, Rosh Chodesh and Cholomayyad is for. So, Timara Simna Ba'al Miyohiv. This ziyak cloud is really to go and give us kind of a guiding approach of how to figure out how many aliyahs there are. Right, we're going to finish today's blot. Somebody's going to stop you in the street. How many aliyahs do you make on Yom Kippur? And how many aliyahs in Yom Tov? And how many in Chol HaMoed? And you can get confused. And therefore, our mission is trying to give us kind of a guide. Don't think that Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed, which is all technically Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed, are the same. No, 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 no. And the koit hai klol biyotcha. This is the zehaklal. This is the rule. Called it tofilei milta mechavrei, tofilei gavro yaseira. When there's anything extra on the horizon for that day, then you add one more aliyah. So let me tell you, Hilkach, Rosh Chodesh Umayyad De'ika Karben Musaf, like it says in the Mishnah, both Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed is Karben Musaf, Karben Abba. Then you got four, because you have the additional Karben Musaf. Beyond of the Asr Basiyas Malacha, not only is it Karben Musaf, you're not going to do Malacha, so then you have Chamisha. Yom Kippur, where not only is there Karben Musaf, and there's an Isra Malacha, but there's also Onish Kar is, is Shishi have six? Shabbos, it's a skila, you get to seven is Shiva. So therefore that Zehaklal doesn't add anything about Tanis Tzibur, but rather gives us the general guidelines of all the aliyahs throughout the year. Halacha l'maisa, it's three, like we had at the Brice at the top of the Amid, Zehaklal, Tanis Tzibur, is three aliyahs finished. But let's get back to that Brice again, not that Brice, that discussion about Rav. Remember, Rav did two interesting things. Gufa. Rav, ikal ababu betat siber, kam kara besafra, pasach baruch, chosam vay baruch. That we already discussed at length. Now we go to the second part. Nofu kul di alma anpayu, everybody else fell tachnun, fell nefilas apayim, v'rav li nofu al anpe, v'rav did not. My time, Rav li nofu al anpe, why did he not? Now, when we refer today to tachnun as nefilas apayim, as you know the custom is, we don't fall on our faces to the ground like on Yom Kippur. We just go and put our hands, our heads on our arms, and we kind of lean downward. But it's not a real full-fledged nefilas sapayim. It's just a facial movement that you go and put your head down. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara talks now about what was Rav doing. And the Gemara assumes initially that Rav did a feel prostration on the ground, and the ground of that shul, right? Rav Ikel Bavel, he's a visitor. In that shul that he came into in Bavel, there was a ritzpah shalavonim ha'isa. In front of where he was davening, he had a ritzpah, he had a floor made out of...
people put like a mat under them.
Beautiful. he have a ritva shalavonim made out of stone. V'tanya, it says in the brisa, the evan maskis leisitna v'artzam lishtachveis aleha. You're not allowed to go and have a stone floor throughout your land that people are going to bend down on and prostrate themselves. And the Gemara darshins, aleha yat mishtachve b'artzachem, avat mishtachve alavonim shal beis hamikdash. In the beis hamikdash, they were allowed to, and that's why on Yom Kippur we refer to kahanim v'yom kishoyim d'mazara, and they all koyim mishtachvim, and we do the same. To remind us what happened at the time of the Beis Hamikdash floor was made out of tiles, made out of stone. That's the Beis Hamikdash, but not outside the Beis Hamikdash. Kiri ula di amra ula li also tell a mitzvah shalvanim belvad, that you can prostrate yourself on a floor made out of wood, made out of linoleum, made out of carpet, but not if there is stone. So that's why Rav didn't want to do the nefilas abayim. Frank Timura, if that's the case, yachim my ear yirav. So why only Rav did that? Filikulin ami. Everybody else in shul also should have refrained from doing the filas apayim. If you're talking about the ritzvah shalavanim, everything were made the Rav ava. The shul generally throughout was made achvais wooden floors, the marshal or dirt floor. In the front by the mizrachvan for the choshev rav and the dignitaries, there they had a beautiful tiles made out of stone. So therefore, Rav could. Everybody else could, but Rav couldn't. So why didn't Rav move back 20 steps, move to the rest of the car where they were all standing, and do the filas apayim over there? So the boy in the mitrach tzibur didn't want to be matriach. What means he didn't want to be matriach? Says Rashi, if Rav is going to go towards the back of the shul, in yelech yamdu mipanav, then everybody on Mars is going to have to stand up. Rav is walking to the back. He didn't want to be matriach the whole tzibur, so he stayed in his place.
So, would think that the tzibur would want him at a place where he could just.
That's what the tzibur were thinking. That Rav was thinking
otherwise. They should at least give him a place where he can.
You're 100% right, but Rav thought, if I'm be matriach one person, I don't want to be matriach anybody. And Rav was a wonderful person. The boy is saying another pshat. Rav pishi daim reglayim have of it. Ukir ula di ama uli. So tell the pishi daim reglayim buvat that everybody else did in the field of supine the way we do it. Rav, however, did it a full 9 yards. And therefore, Rav didn't want to go and do it because he'd have to prostrate himself as Ritzvah Shalavon. All the other people, they just put their heads on their arms, so therefore they didn't have to go to the ground, and they didn't have a problem. So why didn't Rav do like everybody else that they only did it on their arms? Why did he have to feel he had to do Pisha Daim Raglaim, which he couldn't do because it's a Ritzvah Shalavon? Rav didn't want to change his minhagim. In other words, it was probably the minhag of his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, that they always did a pishut daim v'raglayim, and although he was a visiting guest, he didn't want on this one occasion to go and do differently than his regular minhag. He wanted to do a pishut daim v'raglayim, but he couldn't because of the ritual shalavonim, so he didn't do either way. He was kind of neutral. He just sat there without, he said the tachman, but he didn't do it this way, he didn't do it that way. Not to change his minhag and not to disturb the rest, etc. B'boy you say menoch abshat, odom choshev shayni. It could be that everybody, maybe there was no ritzvah shalavanim at all. Rav didn't want to go and prostrate himself, but everybody else did. Why did Rav not want to? Odom choshev shayni. We have this all to the end of the Masechtas Tanis. Kira v'lozer, the Yomar v'lozer, ein odom choshev l'shoy lipal apanim elim kein nenek Yeshua benun. Tachsev yim Hashem el Yeshua kum loch. What is this Chazal telling us? This Chazal tells us that that Gemara of Reb Lozer is in Masechtas Tanis, and there it's talking about a sugya of it hasn't rained for a long time, and now everybody is fasting, and they're saying special tefillahs, and the Rav says, let's go and prostrate ourselves, and they prostrate themselves, and it doesn't rain. And therefore there's a tremendous bizoyin. Here this Odom Choshev says, I'm going to go and prostrate myself, and nothing happened. And therefore Reb Lozer said, you learn, the rule is, don't go and go to the degree of being mavazi yourself, shaming yourself, and doing a public prostration, unless you know a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to go and listen, just like in the case of Yeshua Ben Nun, that Yeshua Ben Nun, no, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, okay, enough, and stand up. So an Odom Choshev shouldn't do that. A regular person, no, if I'm going to prostrate, yeah, yeah, nish, nish, yeah, it really depends on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his quote-unquote, his feelings, his mood, what he wants to do. But an Adam Choshev like Rav, if he's going to prostrate himself and nothing happens, everybody says, phony, he doesn't know what he's doing. So, That's the end of that story. Now we just have another 3-4 lines, very simple. In the Torah you have a number of different expressions all about bowing down. You have Kida, Kriya, Hishtachavoya, like the Gemara says, Tanurba, Kida Alapai. Kida means that you go all the way down to the ground and you stand not on your head, you stand on your thumbs. You have to be a real acrobat to do that. And the Gemara is going to bring lady. We're going to bring lady in a moment. How do I know that Kida Alapayim Shenema Batikoit Basheba Apayim Oretz? She went down to the ground with her face towards the ground. That was Kida Batikoit. Kriya is Alberkayim. You bend your knees. V'chenu Oymen Mekroi Alberkov. Ishtachavoah, when it says the Ishtachwais, Pishadam Raglai. That's prostrating on the ground, like we do in Yom Kippur. Shenema Havoy Novei Anivim Chavachecha Lishtachwais Lecho Oretzah. Now the Gemara brings the famous story of Levi. Levi Afakida Kami de Rebbe. Levi did this great acrobatic feat in front of Rebbe, the Itla. And unfortunately, when he came down, he became lame. Rashi explains exactly how do you do the Kida. You see two lines before the wide lines on the bottom. Achve Kida. This takes tremendous acrobatic skill. Achve Kida. Noyetz Goidlov. You put your thumbs down on the ground. Do you see it? Four lines from the bottom. Four lines from the bottom of Rashi. Rashi. Four lines on the bottom. Achvikida, says Rashi. No, it's Goydlov. You stand on your, not on your head, you stand on your thumbs. The Nishan Aleim, and all of your weight is hanging on those thumbs. The Shoicha, and then you bend down whilst you're upside down, you put your head down at Shinoisha Kisaritzva to go and kiss the floor. Can you imagine? That type of acrobatic act, you're on your thumbs, and you lower your head to kiss the floor. And v'zoykev, and then you have to stand up again. To stand up, you gotta go and jump with your fingers. Umetosh shen yochel ishan al good love, since you can no longer put the weight on the good limb, then you're the Messiah's oisoy, bizkifosoy, and the hands can't help him in jumping back. The tzarchle is amitz v'mosnav. What you have to do is you have to put a lot of pressure on your loins. Unfortunately, as a result, Levi was nitzla, he became lame. The bukadatma. Bukadat means major bone felt came out of his hip socket, and therefore Nebuch, his thigh was no longer in place, and for the rest of his life, he was never lame. So, Frank the Gemara, third line from the bottom. The Haka Garmalay, that's what caused Levi to become lame. A person should be very careful the way he speaks to the Kaddish Baruch Hu. There was one person that spoke inappropriately, the Itla, and he became lame. Umanu Levi. What did he say inappropriately? The last line of Rashi in Tanis. People were fasting the whole day because it didn't rain. And Levi said to Rabbi Nishlam, Alisa Lamarim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've gone all the way up to Shemayim, Ve'inata Mashkiach HaBanecha, and you're not taking care of your Kimbalach, send down the rain. He spoke a little bit grub, a little bit rough. Because of that, he was Itla. But you just told me that he was Itla because he did this acrobatic event. So Gemara HaVaHaGarmalei, both of them caused him. In other words, the reason why he became Itla is because he spoke poorly. When did it take place? When he did the acrobatics. Finally, when they said Tachnun, they didn't prostrate themselves like that. They only did it on their arm like we do it. And that's the halacha l'maisa. A good chodesh, one and all. Thank you for joining.